When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Buckets. Mm-hmm. That's the name of my boat. Buckets.
Buckets. Buckets. What we get.
Not the only transfer we got from Florida. Buckets. Keith Stone, too. Remember that.
Everybody who watches his show on a regular basis knows my love of the stretch four.
You know, we all make mistakes. He might have made one going to Tallahassee.
It's mercy if y'all don't know.
Dribble to the left, cross over to the right. Hurricane to the game, many buckets for the night. Matt with the pick and roll, Melissa with the give and go. This Shelly-oop, hoodie girl dunking in the hole. Check the scoreboard, this what we fall for. Peep the gameplay, they want an encore. Yeah, over time for another round. It's buckets after buckets, baby. You out of town. It's buckets. What it is, homie, it's buckets. Woo! We get buckets. Yeah, baby. Buckets. Buckets.
I have no shame.
I know. That's the problem.
You guys are awesome.
Before we move into Mount Rushmore shenanigans, quick shout out to Shane Larkin getting inducted in, is it the UM Sports Hall of Fame?
Yep, which I believe is happening tomorrow.
Is happening tomorrow. So are we doing this on top of the Mount Rushmore and just talking about one of our favorite Shane Larkin moments, or should we just do our Mount Rushmore favorite moments from 2012, 2013?
No, we do this separate.
Okay. Got it.
Go ahead. You brought.
You want me to go first? Oh, my favorite Shane Larkin moment. I mean, there's a few.
Can only say one.
I know.
Well, the other ones can still go on your Mount Rushmore, so you can talk
just later.
I'll probably end up going both. They'll probably end up, the one I named is going to end up on my Mount Rushmore anyway. My favorite will probably have to be the alley-oop off the backboard during the UNC.
Against UNC.
Yeah. He threw the alley-oop.
By chance, which player finished the alley-oop?
Kenny Kaji.
I knew I didn't want to jinx it. The child's like, there's a 100% chance Melissa picks that play because Kenny Kaji's involved in it.
She tried to set it up like there was
LeBron and D Wade were in the audience. I was there. Because I was a season ticket holder. So yeah, that's one of my favorite Shane Larkin moments. How about you, Matt?
I only could think of I thought of the off the backboard pass to Kenny, but I guess because I really liked watching him play because he was so agile and could switch directions so quickly. And he had a really nasty step back. I guess I would say there was one game because I was watching old clips. I can't remember who was against, but he went up with one hand and then defender came up. He switches hands midair and finishes on the other side of the backboard. I think it was against Charlotte or something, but it was one of the most athletic finishes I've ever seen. And I remember when he was at the combine, he tested he tested he had the highest vertical
Gio's in the chat. What's up, Gio?
Oh, there you go. breaking news
there.
Get Gio in here,
right?
Let's talk about the visit.
Breaking news.
I
guess I should read that out because this is an audio show too. Gio Million from Life Wallet, very plugged in, came in the chat and said the small visit has gone well. So that is a positive outcome.
Shout out Gio.
Appreciate the love, Gio. Gio's good people.
Hopefully they didn't take him by the baseball game.
Gio's had me on the Life Wallet show that they do. So always appreciative to spread the buckets word. Gio, buy a hoodie.
God, man, enough.
I sat next to Gio at the Lafayette game. When was it? Like two years ago now, right? Or whenever. Mm-hmm. Final Four season. So shout out Gio.
What's your Shane Larkin moment?
Hitting the step back three against Illinois in the tournament. We were down one with under a minute left to win the game.
Nice. There you go. That's a good
of course, one. It was a step back, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was – I think everyone remembers, like, how the Marquette game went off the rails. We almost lost to Illinois. That team peaked a little bit too early. Like, we won the ACC tournament, but we didn't actually play that well. Like, ended up playing North Carolina, wasn't very good. In the championship game, like they were not a good team that year.
We would have beaten Marquette. Shane was sick.
Yeah, but I mean, we were playing much better basketball like a month before that, like when we were crushing Duke and Carolina. Like even down the stretch, we got blown out by Wake Forest, who won like four games that year. Yeah. We had started to teeter. Yeah, Kane's on deck on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about this. It's the worst team I've ever seen. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that they're terrible. There's multiple reasons for that, but so I felt like we kind of peaked, and then when Reggie got hurt too, you know, that was we couldn't mm-hmm. afford that. But we weren't necessarily playing our best basketball, even though we won the ACC tournament. Like I felt like we were playing much better in January and middle of February than towards the. We kind of faded a little bit, but he pulled that game out of his ass. Like we were in a battle with Illinois. We also got the benefit of a call. There was no replay back then. Got the benefit of a call at the end, and we fucked up a rebound. And Melissa's guy knocked it out of bounds pretty clearly, and they gave us the ball. But I don't think.
We were actually just talking. About the construction of the men's team through the portal and the gets that we've got so far and some options. So definitely go back and listen. To like 10 minutes before this and you'll get all of our thoughts for sure.
Small would be a huge ad though.
Yeah, no, yeah. Small is
a much needed ad. I think that's a priority, right? Is that that's what we had talked about. Yeah. That guard.
That would constitute like a emergency bucket if he commits.
Yeah, no, he's kind of outside of like when we were saying we need another guard, I was thinking depth, not okay, bang on starter.
Starting caliber, yeah.
It's a reframe of my mindset, essentially, if you bring it back.
I almost wonder, too, I didn't bring this up earlier, but I almost wonder if he and Nigel know each other because they're both from Indiana as well. I had tried to see if their high schools played against each other, but
they might,
yeah.
They might.
Gio. Gio, don't get our hopes up.
I mean, we'd
go from no depth to insane depth like that quickly if that happened. If Wooga and George came back,
I mean, if Wooga and George and Matthew are back, we are.
That's so, the most depth at a position ever.
I mean, no, we're just like really loaded then. And I will say, PJ
Hall, PJ Hall's mom is not fucking ready. I'll tell you that.
I'll say this too. I'll go back to what I was talking about. You know, I think we all think Keyshawn's going to be in the draft because I think it looks like he'll go in the first round. Even if it's late in the first round, but if he comes back, you know, hit the weight room, he should be playing the stretch four, not Matthew. Mm-hmm. He's more athletic. He's taller. If you put some weight on him, I think that's a position where he could thrive and is a much better fit for than Matthew.
And he would be a matchup nightmare.
Gio, I know what you're saying and I know who you're probably talking about. And I've had a conversation with the same person you're probably talking about. So mm-hmm. not a conversation.
Matthew should definitely be a three. Gio's right on point with the buckets fam tonight.
Yeah, and I think if they all come back, I actually think Keyshawn's a better four if he puts some weight on. He's taller. He's smoother at that position. He can play better in the low block. And he's a big matchup nightmare for a traditional four, much more than Matthew is. I think Matthew at three. And I think
Cleveland just looks so uncomfortable like the entire season. And so he gets a lot of hate, and I've criticized him too, but I mean, you put him at his natural position and I think you see a different player, and I think he's going to be really valuable for us. Especially like him being a senior. So his like experience in college. So we're assuming he's going to be our three. So we'll have to get Gio on the show in the off season.
Yeah.
We'll do that. He's been on a six ring before.
We got to get him on buckets. That's right. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. I think, so we've talked about this on the show, but the thing is the draft is so much deeper next year, and it's such crap this year. He's probably, all things being equal, you roll the dice because the draft is so much weaker. There's just a better chance of getting drafted this year than next year, unless like his stock really goes up, which is where I think if he comes back, he really needs to put weight on. He needs to show more of a complete game. And then he'll be able to get, because frankly, everyone in 2024 NBA, everyone can shoot. And so that's not going to, like in college, you're like, wow, this guy is big and he can shoot. In NBA, that's not even a differentiator. It's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got to show more. He's right now he's on potential. We can take him from there to the next step. But that's another year in college, that's less potential, more actual. He's got to show more.
If small commits, we're not keeping. We'll get in Keyshawn. And again, I don't think Keyshawn's staying.
If small commits, I think, to Max's point, we've never actually started a true freshman on day one. I think our first game lineup, Nigel, Small, Keyshawn, Matthew, Lynn Kidd.
If they all stay?
Or yeah, if all three, yeah. Johnson. Yeah, I think if all three of the...
Norchad is an amazing person. I'm going to miss him too, assuming he's gone, which we assume he is. I'm trying to keep a speckle of hope that he decides to come back.
I mean, again, I think opposite.
Also, I hope Bill doesn't change his thumbnail if Norchad stays in the draft, because I always like looking at Bill's.
He might be changing it.
Candle,
if someone commits here, he's a big Sisich fan.
I'm no candlelight vigil for Nwoko. Anyway, all right, Mount Rushmore. We did the Larkin moments. So kind of an extension of. So again, So Gio, just real quick, Norchad signed with him. There's NCAA approved agents which you can sign with and still keep your eligibility. That's what he's using. And so he technically can come back. I think we're all expecting Norchad, though, not to be back. And I think Coach Ellis too. We were aggressive in getting start multiple starting bigs, essentially. Yeah.
And I'm just grateful with the aggressiveness.
Yeah. All right. So the Mount Rushmore is kind of
we are an educational program, Gio.
Please don't hold us to that standard.
We are a fashionable program.
Jesus, the hoodies.
That hoodie looks amazing on you. The hoodie, it looks amazing on you, Vish.
I know. We are now just a hoodie advertising program.
We're turning into QVC.
With basketball attached. No, but this hoodie is amazing. This is the good one. If you're going to get one, get this one. The fit on it's better. It's more comfortable. It's breathable. In that South Florida heat, definitely get this one.
But there are four options, so check out aboutthefans.com and search Hoodie Gore Collection. All right, tonight's
it's like those little, God, I'm probably the only one old on trends, but it's like when they used to do these restaurant tie-ins with movies, like, collect all four. They do like Jurassic Park would have like a Taco Bell tie, they have like special cups, but they have like the Velociraptor and the T-Rex and all, and they'd be
it's
like,
too bad, it's too bad we don't it's too bad we don't have like an in-show ad where I could just quickly change hoodies and then like show off another one.
I mean,
well, I have them all right here, but it's fine. All right,
we'll work on that for next week.
Tonight's Mount Rushmore, in honor of Shane Larkin being inducted into the UM Sports Hall of Fame. We are going to do our top four favorite moments from the 2012-2013 season. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think everyone's going to say that, well, there's a good chance everyone says this one, but I'm going to talk about a specific part of this game. It's a Duke game. I want to talk about Durant Scott putting the absolute clamps on Seth Curry. Seth Curry scored 0 points, 0 for 10. One of the best like defensive performances I've seen in a game. So, Durant Scott, man.
ACC Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
And friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
He's been on the show. He's on the intro. Vish, you want to go next? Or you want me to go next?
Whatever you want.
I'll go. So my first favorite moment isn't actually during a game. It is the post-game Larinaga dancing after we made the Sweet 16 when he started fighting like Muhammad Ali. And then Reggie Johnson mentioned something about Mama made pizza rolls.
And then got injured. No. When did he get injured?
No, this is when we made the Sweet 16 after we beat Illinois.
Yeah, and Reggie Johnson got injured in between that and the Marquette game.
Oh, did he? Oh, I don't remember. But yeah,
he was out. That whole thing was going off the rails way before they got to DC. Actually, I just looked up that I was surprised to say I agree with myself, but we actually lost 3 out of our last 5 games heading into the ACC tournament, including to a really bad Georgia Tech team at home, which now I remember we could have clinched the ACC that day and we blew the home game. We got blown out by Wake Forest too by 18 points.
We were ranked number 2. We were ranked number 2.
Yeah, we were not playing our best ball at the end of the season and it caught up with us. Anyway, my first pick is Reggie Johnson hitting the buzzer beater against NC State.
Oh, yeah. I fell over my coffee table.
That was just...
Jumped up because he tipped it in. And I jumped up off my couch because I was watching and I tripped over my coffee table.
That game was a battle. It was back and forth. And yeah, he, like you said, he hit the buzzer beater and it was just like, man, it was still in that dreamland with that team too, right? Like, we're like, are we really this good? And we just kept winning. And that was when like, well, you know, NC State was ranked. They're a top 20 team, was on the road. It's a tough game. You know, we're in a battle. Like, we're probably going to come up short. It's fine though. They're losing on the road. And then we won anyway. I'm like, yeah, this team doesn't lose.
Matt, what's your next one?
My next one, I'm trying to decide which one I want to go with. I guess I'll go with, because Vish mentioned NC State. I feel like I'm coming across as a Durant Scott homer, but it was the game that it was NC State. It was the other time we played them. I think it was later in the year. And Durant Scott dropped 32 points. I don't know if you guys remember that one. But I remember watching that one at home with one of my friends, and he just went off. Really impressive offensive performance. I remember because he just scored in, like, a multitude of ways. It was, like, off ball, on ball. But, yeah, I would definitely go with that one.
My second one is what Moose said. I was at the Duke. I was a season ticket holder, so I was at the Duke game. I mean, that whole thing in general was crazy, like us being up so much at halftime. But, yeah, when we slapped the floor, that was awesome.
All right. I'm going to go with a little bit of a surprise one because it's actually a bad moment. But I think just to kind of recall how the season went. So right before ACC play started, we played this Christmas tournament. We got on neutral site. We got killed by Arizona and then lost to Indiana State.
That's when Durant missed the game and Reggie hurt his thumb, right?
And we were down bad. And then we promptly, this is the retribution. I'm all about these, like, you know, getting to your depths and then digging yourselves out of them. Mm-hmm. We then won 14 games in a row, rolling through the ACC. It became, you know, probably the best team in the country at that point, out of nowhere. So to me, you got to hit those depths to enjoy the highs. So it's that whole arc of you know, losing. I remember that was on Christmas Day itself when he lost to Indiana State. And I was like, this team is not good.
Yo, that's Jasmine Roberts in the chat.
I was gonna say, is that Jasmine Roberts in the chat?
I was just checking. I'm like, is that her? That's the legend, Canes women's legend herself. What's up, Jasmine? I was like, I'm checking to see if that's her. If that's her thumbnail, that's her.
Damn, we got celebrities in the chat.
Shout out to Chick-fil-A. What's up, Jasmine? Jasmine, you are welcome on the show anytime. Let us know. Hit up our Twitters. You're welcome on the show.
I'm like totally stunned here. I know.
I'm so distracted now.
What the hell?
Jasmine would appreciate this hoodie.
Jasmine, I'm the weirdo that asked you if you like Chick-fil-A or Popeyes at the ACC tip-off thing.
Yeah, and Matt and Vish hate Chick-fil-A. I'm a Chick-fil-A person.
Let's not restate. Not hate.
You like Popeyes better.
We've done Mount Trashmore's of fast food we hate, and Chick-fil-A did not make the list.
Yeah, it
so
did.
Stop sucking up to famous.
It did for me. The fries. The fries are awful.
Oh, no, but that was item. That was item.
Oh, that's true.
Mac and cheese is number one, though.
Yeah, best fast food, like mac and cheese.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
I know. I showed her the video. She hasn't let me live it down. So, all right. So we've gotten two each. You're up.
We've got famous people in the chat. Look at Buckets is making it. okay, that's two each. So Matt, are you gonna pick a third with Duran Scott, or are you gonna change it up?
I was thinking about it.
Just do it. I only wrote down
the NC State where Duran had 32. And then I remember the Duke.
It was the same game I was talking about then, or
no, that was a different game. I think I think the one you referenced when we played him first, and then the second time we played him was when Duran had 32.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I would just say winning the ACC tournament. I mean,
I have a more specific moment out of that game, but that works.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember Julian talking about it because it was such a big deal for him being from like North Carolina playing against, you know, those schools. So, but yeah. Go ahead, Vish or Melissa?
No, Melissa is up next.
Hold on. Jasmine just followed me on Twitter, and I don't know which account it is.
Wait, what do you mean don't know which
account? She followed me on my Twitter. What's up?
Well, she followed me as well because our names are on the screen.
Yeah, I know. I've just I don't have a women's basketball player following me yet, so that's, you know.
Oh, I almost hit unfollow because I was already following her.
Oh damn, dude! I wasn't even following her. My bad.
Jasmine, forgive Matt. We're still getting him into the women's basketball.
He lives in California. They're weird.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
She's a Florida person. She's from Jacksonville.
We gotta get Jasmine on the show. We have her future teammate. We had her future teammate Leah Harmon on. We gotta get Jasmine on.
Yeah.
I can add her to the Chick-fil-A tally.
I mean, you might have to add me after the way this last week has gone. But
I have to do my third.
Yeah, your third's up.
I gotta do the Shane Larkin to Kenny Kaji off the backboard.
I thought you already did that.
That was for our favorite Shane Larkin moment, but this is
over. Oh, okay, yeah, I get it. You're on a repeat. Okay.
Yeah. Your turn.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take a specific moment out of the ACC tournament championship game, and if you recall, and this is really down the weeds, but going into that tournament, UNC started playing small ball, and actually, it's kind of how a lot of teams play now, but just shooting a bunch of threes,
mm-hmm.
and it worked because they were not a good team that year, but they made all the way to the finals, and that's basically a road game then.
They just had a bunch of guards.
Yeah, and some of them, like Reggie Bullock was on the team. Some of them were still in the league.
PJ Harrison.
Yeah, so.
And they
so
had they freaking Michael McAdoo. I fucking hated that guy.
Don't even Sorry. Remember that guy. But
you don't remember James Michael McAdoo?
Wow,
are you serious?
I haven't heard that name in forever.
He was one of the – I hated that guy.
Wait.
Oh, we're definitely having Gio.
Yeah, no, no, she did. She did relay that information. Yes.
I don't withhold. I'm honest. I have a significant lead, so it's okay.
I had the video of Jasmine saying she likes Chick-fil-A, and I did share it with my co-host. I'm an honest broker.
Jasmine also wears number 4, so that's
your number. So they had North Carolina, like, just basically was essentially playing the way a lot of teams play now, which is play smaller and shoot a bunch of threes because it's actually more efficient. And they'd gotten a rhythm. And that first half of that game, they were just dropping bombs on us. Like, yeah. And it's a road game, and like the crowd's getting into it. And then we're so much better than we just ground them down. And then in the second half, we'd taken the lead. And we pushed it to like 7. There was like 3 minutes left or 2 minutes left, something like that. And then Trey McKinney-Jones hits a 3 from the corner, like in front of our bench. Everyone starts going. He runs down the court with his arms up like this. And that's when I'm like, shit, we're actually going to win this thing. So I always remember that 3-pointer. He hit it right in front of our bench and then ran down the courts with his arms like raised up in the air because everyone knew it was game. He basically called a game and dropped a 3 on him. And that was when it sunk in. Because again, that whole season was a fever dream. We were not supposed to be good. And then we started badly. And then just because I know
it didn't seem like it was going to be a good season. We lost Florida Gulf Coast.
It didn't seem real, right? Yeah. It didn't seem real. Even as we kept winning, like I said, we won 14 ACC games in a row to start the ACC season. It didn't feel real. It was like, this is a fever dream or something. And even that ACC tournament where the one seed won all 3 games comfortably, actually, in the end. It still felt like, I was like, we're going to lose this. It's, we're playing North Carolina wins the ACC tournament. Miami doesn't win the ACC tournament. Like this is not going to happen. So that's when it sunk in. Like, oh, my God, we're actually going to win this thing. So it's always, that's the shot I remember from that tournament.
Matt, what's your 4th? Matt so far has...
I honestly only thought of 3.
Scott scoring 32 against NC State, and then the Larkin UNC.
I was going to use the Larkin one, yeah, and but then also too, Melissa. I think it was Melissa brought up the slapping of the floor against Duke. I remember that. I was, huh?
Which one?
Oh, the slapping on the floor.
Oh.
Just because I remember, I was watching that game with my friend, who was a Duke fan.
That was your first mistake?
Huh?
So that was your first mistake?
Well, I mean, it wasn't a mistake that day. It was his. It was a mistake by him. And, oh, my God, when they did that, I just remember I was standing up in the side room over there because we were both watching because I was, like, locked in. And when they did that, I did it myself, and I just looked at him, and he just looked so defeated. But...
I've got such great pictures from that game sitting in general admission with students rushing the floor and like with like my iPhone 5.
Yeah, I know we've shown them on the show before.
Oh yeah, we showed them.
They're so damn grainy against modern resolution display. It's hard to see what's going on.
It was like 10 years ago already. My 4th one. So I've got the L dancing after beating Illinois. Slapping the floor against Duke, the alley-oop to Kenny off the backboard. My 4th one's going to have to be probably, and it probably seems stupid, but because I was at these games, some of the stuff means more because I got to see it in person. But watching us cut the nets down after we clinched the regular season title and being in the arena for that and getting the shirt that said regular season champions and everyone cheering. And like, that was just a really cool experience. And like that whole season was a dream to be a season ticket holder, to be sitting in the stands with Nate and all the guys that I had season tickets with for a few years already and going through that season and watching us beat Duke by 30 at home when they were number 1 and making that run in the tournament. Like it was awesome. So I got to go with watching us cut down the nets to win the ACC regular season.
So I could definitely reuse the Larkin one. That was definitely a memorable. Again, we didn't play well in that Illinois game, and gutted it out. There's also, I mean, we beat Florida State twice, which is nice. Especially the way present things are going. But I'm going to go with, and this is like not as remembered, I feel, as the blowout win at home. But we went, this is still before we'd really kind of accelerated and everyone's like, oh, this team is good. But we, so this was, God, what, I'm going to look now because I don't remember where, I feel like this was early in ACC play. It was our second ACC game. We went to North Carolina. And again, this is before we really knew we were good. In fact, we were 1-0 in ACC play and had two games before lost to Indiana State. But we go into North Carolina, we're down at the half, and this is, keep in mind, Reggie Johnson was injured at this point. And so we basically played six guys. And in the second half, it was like a flip switch. We beat the crap out of them. And we ended up winning by 9. And it was nothing like when we beat them by like 40 or whatever the hell it was at home. But I was like, that's a what just happened? That's a legitimately good win.
Yep.
You just went to North Carolina and won. Like, we don't win in North Carolina a lot. Remember, El was still relatively new as well. Like, now we frankly expect to go win those games because he's done it so regularly. But
that was his what, second year as our head coach?
I want to say it was his third.
No, I think it was his second. I think it was his second year.
I think it was, no, because we went to, remember we went, was it a second? This is 2013. When did he come in? But anyway, it was certainly not like it is now, where if we go win in North Carolina, you're like, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah,
like,
his first season was the 2011-2012 season.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, it was something that, like, we didn't do back then, and you didn't expect it to happen. And we were down at the half, and we had no players. We were in a six-man rotation, and we just shut them down defensively and beat the crap out of him. And I remember thinking, it's been a long time since I've seen us play good, like really since Leonard Hamilton is the coach, that I've seen us actually like just play really good basketball in a tough place and beat someone.
It was the beginning of
like, you know, that was the beginning of the journey to, wait, we're actually really good. What is this?
I was gonna go grab the t-shirts from that season out of my cabinet over here, but I'd have to search through all the merch. So
yep. Shout out to Canes today.
What's up, Canes today?
It's a little late, man. You have school tomorrow, right? But yeah, no, because that one's, again, I didn't want to, like, we ended up, I'm looking now because I pulled the schedule to see where it was. We ended up being North Carolina at home by 26. But that road win's the one that actually stuck with me more, just because I was like, I didn't think we were good. And I thought there was no way we were going to win this game, and we were down at the half, and I'm like, yeah. Another NIT maybe season, and then just like the second half was the beginning of, I mean, after that it was, we beat Maryland, then at BC, then crush Duke, and next thing you know that season
was just crazy, man. What could have been had Shane Larkin not gotten food poisoning?
I still think we peaked earlier than that.
I still think that was our best team that we've ever had. I know we went to the Final Four two seasons ago, but
it's hard to say.
I think we were overall more depth overall.
There was though. It was a two-man bench. It was Ryan Brown and it was whichever Julian Gamble or Reggie Johnson didn't start.
No, we got minutes out of Tonya.
I guarantee we averaged less than Anthony Walker did last year.
I think all around we just had a more complete team.
I think it's easier to say that now because some of these guys ended up, like, if you look at the roster, you're like, oh yeah, we had Tonya and we had Eric Swoop and guys who ended up playing but didn't really play that year.
Tonya got some minutes.
He averaged 1.4 points.
He was just there to be a body.
Let me see if I can get some minutes.
At the end of the day, the team made the
final. No, it was. Yeah, no. I mean, this was a. Oh God, Bishop Daniels, remember that guy? Tony Ajukari averaged 6.9 minutes per game. Swope averaged 6. So I think there's better names on this roster than actually playing. We had basically we had three bigs splitting minutes, and then Ryan Brown kind of rotating through the guard positions because Duran would run point when Larkin was out, and that was kind of it. I still think Isaiah Wong is the most underrated player in school history, and I think 10 years from when we look back on that, I think that is the thing that is gonna stand. I think that's why we attend. I know that obviously the Final Four team gets their credit, but this is a team that did also won the ACC, that was misseeded as a 5 seed, which I think hurts a little bit their reputation. Because I mean, the 2013 team should have been a 1 seed. Mm-hmm. The 2023 team probably should have been a 3 seed. If you win the ACC.
If we won the ACC tournament, Norchad getting injured kind of hurt.
I was about to get to that too. Like that does color a little bit because we probably would have won. I mean, we almost beat Duke without him.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I think, yeah, that team likely wins the ACC tournament if he doesn't get hurt. And then we're talking about something different. Although they probably get seeded higher and maybe the bracket doesn't line up. Maybe they don't make the Final Four, right? There's so much.
They put in UConn's
bracket. There's so much if this then that, right? Like we played the highest team possible in every single round to the Final Four.
Yep.
And you know what? We matched up well with all of those teams. And we could have run into a team that was an upset winner that we matched up worse with and played a technically worse team. Like Indiana was the right 4 seed to match up with for us because we're athletic and we overwhelm them. UConn was also a 4 seed. So, sometimes it's just the breaks. And I think the 2013 team unfortunately ran out of steam. If we had played Illinois in February, we would have beat them by 20. We pulled that game out of our ass. Like we were on fumes at that point.
It was a good run.
No, it was. I don't think we were playing. I am skeptical that if healthy and again, Reggie Johnson blew his knee out. There was some gastrointestinal issues for the team. Duran Scott broke his jaw. Everything went wrong that week, but we were not playing nearly as well as we were a month before that when we were killing everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know that we would have made the Final Four or won the championship.
We'll never know. I just remember being at Sports Grill and just drowning my sorrows in a plate of special grilled wings.
I was not making nearly as much money as I am now. And that Marquette game was in DC and I did live there. And my brother was living in New York at the time. And he's like, I'll come down. Let's go. And then the last week couldn't go. And I really couldn't afford the ticket. So I watched it on TV and we're like, we'll go to the Elite Eight game after we win. Cause we're definitely not going to lose to Marquette.
All right. Anything else to add before?
She almost forgot about it, Matt, but she caught herself. I don't know if you caught that.
She was about to
cue an outro instead.
No, I said anything else to add before we get out of here. And then I was like, oh, well, we have to do
the. Yeah, no, I know. Forgot about that. You caught yourself mid-sentence.
Well, then I was just like, I looked at the time and I was like, do we want to do NBA grid? And I'm like, no, it's 11:50.
No.
There's no time for NBA grid. But so there is time for one more segment.
There's time for our last segment of the evening, as always. So let's hit it.
The intro, man, it's crazy. So a little bit of background. Over the weekend, I went to this place called Solvang, California. It's a Danish little town, and right outside of it, they have an ostrich farm that you can go visit, right? So Monica wanted to go do that, so we went there. And man, I gotta tell you, like, I heard some stories, but ostriches are fucking assholes. Oh my god, dude. So they give you this little thing you can put food on. It's almost like a dustpan, or it's like a bowl attached to like a little wooden stick. And so you hold it out and they come and get it. Dude, I held it out. This little ostrich that came over, it looked like it was a little teenage ostrich, I don't know, came over and just started fucking headbutting it. Like, not even trying to eat it, just like headbutting it, and was getting closer to my arm. And like, I thought it was gonna like legit attack me. So in a panic, I just dumped the food. I threw the food and it hit him all in the face. But long story short, ostriches are mean. Hopefully I don't get called out for some animal abuse because I threw food at an ostrich, but it was a dick, so it deserved it. And yeah, don't go feed ostriches because they're assholes and they don't deserve to be fed. So hit it, Melissa.
Cue the socks outro.
Don't cry. Keep it chill. Wear good socks.